Welcome, and thank you for standing by. Guests are in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer session of today's event. At that time, you may press star one on your touch-tone phone to ask a question. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect now. And I'd like to turn it over to your host, Mr. John Ewald with NOAA Fisheries. Thank you very much, sir. You may begin.
Great. Thank you, Fran, and good afternoon, everyone. My name is John Ewald, and I'm the Director of Public Affairs for NOAA Fisheries. Today, NOAA Fisheries is announcing findings of a new report posted online entitled Updated Impact Assessment of the COVID-19 Crisis on the U.S. Commercial, Seafood, and Recreational for Hire/Charter Industries, January through July 2020. This report, as its title indicates, examines the first 7 months of 2020 and provides data and information by region and by fisheries sector. To discuss the report findings is NOAA Fisheries Deputy Assistant Administrator for Operations, Paul Dorinas. Paul will provide a brief summary of the report's findings to be followed by a question and answer session. Joining Paul in these Q's and A's are two NOAA Fisheries economists who co-authored the report. They are Rita Curtis, an economist with NOAA Fisheries Office of Science and Technology, and Steve Kaspersky, an economist with NOAA's Alaska Fisheries Science Center. Also joining Rita and Steve for questions is Doug Lipton, a senior economist with NOAA Fisheries Office of Science and Technology. All of our speakers' names, titles, and spellings are available on the media advisory. Also, if you visit fisheries.noaa.gov, you'll find the link to the report, web story, and supporting materials. Just a reminder, this call is for working media only. If you are not a member of the press, you are welcome to listen, but please note that the Q&A time is reserved for journalists. With that, I will now turn the call over to Paul. Paul, you may begin.
John, thank you very much for the introduction, and it is a pleasure to have the opportunity to talk to you all today about our recent report that we just pulled together on the impact of COVID-19 on the U.S. commercial, seafood, and recreational for-hire charter industries. We are very pleased to have the opportunity to review, as I will in brief note, the findings of the report, both at the national level, but also with significant regional detail. And I want to emphasize that we've had just a wonderful team that has worked on this with our partners in industry, in the regional fishery management councils, with fishermen, with those in academe who have been helping us gather, assess data, and provide as comprehensive an account as we can of the very pervasive impacts of COVID-19 on the sector as a whole. As all of you know, I'm sure, fishing and seafood plays a really essential role in the health of our economy and, in particular, the economic well-being of our coastal economies. And in a normal environment, the U.S. seafood industry as a whole generates around $200 billion in annual sales and supports about 1.7 million jobs. And as you also know, 2020 was not a normal year. Just profound changes in markets, in market access, in the scale and composition of consumer demand, and the just the pervasive impact, particularly early as the nation adjusted to COVID-19 with all the social distancing protocols, safety measures that started really back in March, and had a particularly strong bearing on the restaurant and food service industries where so much of our product is directed, particularly fresh product. So we, you know, like everybody, early in March, and there were some earlier signs internationally of the impact of COVID on the sector as a whole. It's a global sector. And we commissioned our experts, several of whom are available here today, along with many others across NOAA and with our partners, as I just mentioned, to collect, analyze, and pull together economic impact information related to COVID-19 on the commercial seafood industry, covering wild harvest, covering aquaculture, covering recreational for hire. Again, our intent was to provide as comprehensive an account as possible And these teams spend a great deal of time. We had to do a lot of primary data collection and pull together an account of the impact on our ability to and our overall mission at NOAA Fisheries to protect and manage sustainable fisheries in the U.S. and provide a safe, sustainable supply of seafood to the nation. The industry is an incredibly complex industry. It's highly diversified by species, by region, and we have a great deal of variation and impact. Losses vary by sector, by region, by industry, and we're trying to account in great detail with the data and information in this report on the bearing of COVID-19 on the sector as a whole, and provide this in a way that can help businesses and communities understand what has happened, where the losses have been concentrated, and to inform long-term recovery and resilience strategies, which is a first order priority for NOAA Fisheries. So I want to provide, and in the interest of time, just a few general highlights on the findings in the report so that we have a bit of time for Q&A. And I'll start with just a couple observations on U.S. commercial fisheries, which actually started off the year, seems like an eternity ago, but started off the year with a 3% increase in commercial fish landings revenue in January and February, but tables really turned in March. And we saw steady declines month by month, starting with a 19% decrease in March to a 45% decrease by July, midsummer. And over those 7 months, we're looking at in the net a 29% decrease compared to five-year average adjusted for inflation in the revenues for U.S. commercial fisheries. So it's a very significant change, obviously, at the level of this segment of the industry. It's important to note, as I mentioned earlier, that 70% of the seafood sold in the U.S. Prior to the COVID-19 outbreak was to restaurants and other food service establishments, and these are just absolutely primary market outlets for a lot of U.S. sourced seafood, and that was a very dramatic turn of events that put a great deal of challenge in front of U.S. producers and processors. Some were able to pivot to supermarket sales, direct home delivery sales. We don't yet know the extent of those changes. There's been just enormous energy and creativity in industry trying to make that kind of transition. We'll expect to see more of that in future analyses, but we have a very dynamic sector that's looking for ways to diversify market outlets and both size up and respond to changes in the composition and location of demand as the nation works through the latter stages, we hope, of this pandemic period. On the recreational fishery front, also a very, very dramatic and abrupt turn of events back in the spring when the recreational charter for hire industry just shut down. They were tied up at the dock, couldn't move. There were some phase reopenings in early summer, we're cautiously optimistic that things can progress with appropriate measures in place. But the data overall show that the effects of COVID-19 had a pretty substantial downside impact on the ability of charter and headboat businesses to operate. For-hire operators saw really, really severe declines in trips. Future bookings dropped off, and there is a very uncertain future ahead of a lot of operators in that sector. On the aquaculture side, similar, and we note here a great deal of concentrated dependency on the restaurant, live market sector. Shellfish, oysters, and the dependency on the restaurant food service for those products. In our survey, 78% of aquaculture, aquaponics, and related businesses reported impacts, and 74% saw significant lost sales in that period of time. You know, there's some offset as restaurants had a little bit of recovery in the warmer months, particularly in the later period of time covered by this data collection effort in the summer, and some folks were able to pivot a bit to those outlets and to direct delivery and some supermarket outlets as well, but on the whole, a pretty significant impact to our aquaculture operations across the board and particularly in the shellfish side. Also, big impacts widening the lens internationally on the trade front. International markets were heavily affected as well by disruptions in harvesting, and processing in particular, transport, shipping shut down and was pretty significantly disrupted. So really early in the process, we started to see or in the sort of appearance of COVID in the sector. Seafood exports dropped over the period of time that we were looking at here from January to June on the order of 18% in value, again, compared to the previous 5 years. And fresh product exports went down even further relative to frozen. And this is, you know, where you get into a lot of variation by product type. Frozen shelf-stable products did comparatively better during the time period. There's in fact increases in demand in sectors like tuna imports, canned and pouched, which increased 25% over a six-month time period. It peaked at 49% in June. But overall, the value of imports into the U.S. declined 4% over this time period. So net effect was some suppression there. And overall, we have a report that, in my mind, sort of captures it's a snapshot. It's an effort to take a comprehensive look during this time period. But we see an industry in transition. We've seen a great deal of interest in and benefit from efforts to help industry make this transition, in particular the provision of $300 million in aid to states, territories, and tribes as part of the Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act, the CARES Act, as it's widely known. And with the help of our partners in the three interstate fisheries commissions, those organizations are helping us assess and distribute these much-needed funds to eligible fishery participants. That process is well underway. And likewise, there was a great deal of benefit through the USDA, where the Secretary of Agriculture made $530 million available through the Seafood Trade Relief Program to support fishermen and industries impacted by retaliatory tariffs. That was a big assistance. And USDA's buying programs were also helpful in some targeted areas to provide much-needed sources of demand. So overall, you know, I want to caution that this is we're in a profound period of change. This is a snapshot at a period of time. Things are moving fairly rapidly, and much change may already have happened since our data collection period ended and we pulled this report together. But again, our effort here is to provide an ongoing, comprehensive record of impacts for both the benefit of the private sector use as well as our efforts in trying to ensure a long-term recovery and resilience strategies for the sector as a whole. And we are going into a new year here with this whole recovery and resilience need being a top priority for NOAA Fisheries, looking up and down the seafood supply chain at ways we can rebound, recover, strengthen the sector as a whole, and plan for a much stronger 2021 and beyond. We have really positive signs on the horizon, not the least of which is the corner that is being turned nationally on the coronavirus with the provision of vaccines that will gradually get out there and really change the operating environment significantly. But I don't think anybody expects a reversion to life before COVID. Significant adjustments are being made in industry and product form, product diversification and changing distribution channels, variety of types of adjustments to how supply chains are being managed, all much needed changes, all changes that will help strengthen industry over time to be able to handle this type of disruption. And there are also really significant changes that we're seeing in consumer demand. This was not a focus of the report. It's not focused on the retail end per se. But as many of you surely have noted, there have been some really interesting developments in terms of consumer preferences, a great deal more focus on health and nutrition in people's choices, particularly their protein choices. And this is showing up in much more retail purchases of seafood in some areas, and much more of a tendency for consumers to be preparing and consuming seafood at home, which has been a trend that is very much welcome and in need of reinforcement. We hope that continues for lots of different reasons, and not the least of which is improvement in demand, but also the longstanding focus that we have had on improving public health and nutrition, and seafood being an absolutely central part of that story. So these changes and others are grounds for optimism that we've got a much brighter future ahead of us in 21 than we did during the bulk of 2020. But we got a long way to go. We obviously are not out of the woods with this pandemic. Many of these changes are in process, and we will continue our diligent effort working with our partners to keep this record of impacts going and use it to inform our decisions on public and private sector adjustments, again, with the long-term goal of recovery and strengthening the resilience of the seafood sector as a whole. So, John, I will turn it back to you at this point to facilitate Q&A, and thank you again to all of those who contributed to the data collection in this report, both on our staff here at NOAA Fisheries, but also among our partners in industry that have been very responsive to our requests for information. So thank you very much, John. Back to you.
Great. Thank you, Paul. And at this time, we will open for reporter questions. As a reminder, joining Paul today for Q&A are the report co-authors, NOAA Fisheries Economist Rita Curtis and Steve Kaspersky. We also have available NOAA Fisheries Senior Economist Doug Lipton. He's on the line as well. So, Operator Fran, could you please explain the process for how participants can ask a question?
Thank you so very much. If you would like to ask a question, please press star then one on your touch-tone telephone. You will be announced by name and media outlet as we open your line. Again, please press star one, and one moment, please. Thank you again. One moment, please. Our first question from Margie Bauman of Fisherman's News and the Cordova Times. Ma'am, your line is open.
Thank you. I'm wondering, this report talks about the impact of the pandemic from January to July. Are you going to be working on a similar report for the rest of 2020? And how far are you assuming at this point that the 2021 fisheries, including the big salmon fishery in Alaska, are likely to have similar impact with the processors and everybody else involved having additional costs in order to operate safely during the pandemic? Thank you.
This is Rita. I'll answer the first part of that question. We are planning to do an update to this report that will cover all of 2020, and we plan to keep doing this report as needed if we continue to see large-scale effects in 2021. So we've already initiated the work to do that next update. And then it seems your questions about the salmon fishery in Alaska, I'll defer to Steve Kaspersky to address that question.
Thanks, Rita. This is Steve Kaspersky. I will probably have to get back to you on more specific details, but I would say that, right now it kind of depends on how the vaccine rollouts and, what the status of the viruses come next summer, and also how much spread kind of happens between now and then in some of these communities. So, I would say we're not we don't have a sense right now if that's going to be the case right now.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. You'll be announced by name and media outlet. Star 1. My next now is from Jason Huffman with Undercurrent News. Sir, your line is open.
Hello, everyone. Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Hello? Oh, cool. All right. Really two basic questions. I didn't catch the comparison period. Are you comparing this just the previous year or the previous 5 years?
So it depends a little bit by region. Most regions compare to a 5-year baseline.
Okay.
So if you check the regional snapshots, you'll see the actual baseline period for each one.
So, for example, when you say it's, off by 29%, that's compared to the 5-year average. Yeah, I guess it says that here. Okay. And then did any particular species of or fishery jump off the page to you as being particularly hard hit by this?
A lot of fisheries jumped off the page, honestly. With these kind of declines and successively getting worse and worse, going from March, April, May, June, July, it was really quite surprising how badly the situation was deteriorating in the spring. The high-value species, we kind of flagged that a lot of them got hard hit. Many of them go to restaurants, are more commonly sold in restaurants. So there's quite a few of those were exceptionally hard hit. Products that are sold as frozen products or shelf-stable did better.
Okay. High-value species would include lobster.
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's all I have.
Thank you very much. Again, if you would like to ask a question or if you might have a follow-up, please press star 1 at this time. One moment, please. One moment. Thank you. Our next question now is from David Abel with Boston Globe. Your line is open, Mr. Abel.
Hi. I was just looking at the Northeast report, and it seems to suggest that, if I'm reading it correctly, the price of lobster plunged 40% last March, just after, compared to pre-pandemic prices, and overall revenues declined, I think, $21 million in April and May. My question is, do you have any data since then and whether whether revenues increased, whether prices stabilized for the lobster industry, and how through the rest of the year, whether the lobster industry made a comeback, as I've heard it had, and whether revenues overall for the year, how those compared to the 5 years before?
So this report, the Northeast snapshot, only runs through June. and the situation had improved slightly in June. Prices were only down 28%. But the big fishery is later in the year. So we can follow up with you if you'd like. To the extent that we have information available, I would have to check with the Northeast. We could provide you with additional information on that fishery.
Yeah, that would be great. I would just like to have, this is just a sort of peculiar snapshot in time, and it would be good to have a better sense of whether the industry made more of a recovery after the initial shock.
Sure. Sure. The only information we can report on it for that fishery is through June right now. I'd have to see how far into the year they are able to provide information. And that will be
great.
Part of the next snapshot, but I'm sure we can have them take a look for you and get back to
you.
Thank you very much. Now our next question is from Penelope Overton with the Portland Press Herald. Ma'am, your line is open.
Hi. Yes, actually, I think David asked most of my question. I did want to see if there was any additional information about how much the pivot to the domestic market for lobster was able to make up the losses in exports, even during the time that you have covered by this particular snapshot, if you see the balance there shifting at all within through June.
From this time period through June, what the Northeast was reporting is both lower landings and lower prices. So the pivot was not that successful. It could have been worse, but that lower landings, you would expect higher prices, and instead they were getting lower prices.
When you do, if you do follow up with additional information for lobster, I would love to be able to get a hold of that too.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. Now our last question is from Kirk Moore with the National Fisherman Magazine. Mr. Moore, your line is open.
Hi, Rita. Can you speak to how East Coast Atlantic scallops, the fishery performed relative to some of the other species? What was their situation like?
Sorry. So scallops were down in the Northeast. Trying to find my notes here on scallops. They were down considerably. Part of this was due to a reduction in quota, but largely you can attribute it to the COVID impact. And I don't have a comparison with other scallop fisheries. I'm sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very
Great.
Much. As I've no further questions, I'd like to turn it back to Mr. Ewald for any closing comments.
Great. Thank you, Operator Fran. And thank you, everyone, for joining our call today. If you have any further questions, please feel free to contact me or my teammate, Kate Goggin, directly. My name, again, is John Ewald, john.ewald@noaa.gov. And my phone number is 240-429-6127. And my colleague's email address, Kate Goggin, kate.goggin, G-O-G-G-I-N, at noaa.gov. With that, I think this concludes today's call. Thank you for joining.
As conference is concluded, again, thank you for your participation. Please go ahead and disconnect. Enjoy the rest of the day. Thank you very much.